The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, your team didn't make the playoffs, but mine didn't either, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
Unlike you, I had no illusions.
Me either, sir. The Dolphins suck. They fired their coach today, so let's get into it. And before we begin tonight's show, we'd like to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, comic books, miniatures, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in Catskill, New York, and on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the absolute best place to go in gaming. They also have a wonderful website if you can't get there if you're not in the state. Go to KGS, that is Kerwin's Game Store, or KiteGoSamuelOnline.com. That's KGSOnline.com. Don't forget, you get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PLAINSTALKERS at checkout. We also want to recognize our rare level patrons, Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Levi, Jonathan, George, David, Brian, and Apollo. And shout out our Mythic Rare patron, Jake and Jonathan, as well as our producers, Jamie, and our brand new producer, Super Carrot, has signed up. He is one of our producers. Yes. Thank you very much, sir, for that. Thank you for joining us. We say it every week, but it's the truth. We could not do this show without these guys. This show right now is at break even. It's incredible. We thank you so much that we're able to do this without kind of dipping into our funds and anything. You allow us to kind of improve the show. I think the content's better and everything else. So can't thank you enough. One of the perks they get is they have the chance to play with us on Wednesdays during our Commander Craft show. That's our new separate show. If you want to get in on that, just go to patreon.com/planestalkers. That's our Commander Craft is our Wednesday show where we play listeners like you using webcams and four-person Commander. It's casual Commander. It's not high-core, hardcore. We might have a week where we're talking now in the Discord about a CEDH week. So allowing proxies, etc., because I gotta say it. I talked about this during before the show. I'm still amazed that I always foresaw the problem of us getting players for Commander, in that people would be like, "Well, our decks aren't high powered enough. I really don't feel like I could play because our decks aren't high powered enough." We've got people bitching because their decks are too high powered for ours. I'm just like, it's a good problem to have. So
I mean, if that means I can play Zakama more often, then go for it.
So we're looking to do a CEDH show at some point. I do know, I think, you know, you and I have talked offhand, and we could kind of have this discussion on air or talk about it off air later if you want. But what I'm thinking is every week we have a fifth Wednesday. Like comics used to have this big fifth Wednesday event. That would be when we would do something like the pre-con show.
There's one. Number one.
This is, oh, my gosh. Wow. Wait. I'm starting to think now. He called five? I'm starting to think Homeboy is one of these cats. Wow. If you're not watching the live stream, folks, we had a bot show up that went to town, and I've removed them now. Thank God I figured out how to use OBS to remove them. Holy cats, that was a lot. Does that count as one or five? It was the same thing four times.
Well, no, it was different because there were different emojis each time.
So is that four?
It's still one. It's the same username.
All right. I is no bot, you bots. Okay, so in response to that, though, like what I was saying was, I think the fifth Wednesday will be like times, like we've been talking about trying to do more pre-cons to get more people involved who don't have a big card pool. I'm thinking fifth Wednesdays, which it turns out I think there's one in March. And then I think, yeah, March has a fifth Wednesday. And then June has one. So, you know,
basically once a quarter.
Yeah, it's like kind of once a quarter we'll do a fifth Wednesday where we'll play something like a pre-con. But the CEDH show will also do as a special. I'm thinking around Valentine's weekend. Like, you know, we love you. Let's destroy you. So so we'll come back to that. That's definitely on our horizon. So again, Commander Craft, tune in for that. We are also proud to be the flagship podcast for the Planeswalkers Network of Podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel. I've been listening to it, and I feel the need to say this. They're better at this than we are. I don't know. Yeah, they're better at their audio is like spot on, and it's really edited down very nicely. I'm slightly jealous, but if you're not listening to Cantrip Cartel, you guys got to check it out. It's anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel. They're really good quality stuff. They're going to surpass us any day. And finally, we are proud to again announce that we have joined and become a part of the Geek to Geek Media Network. This is a network of geeky podcasts dedicated to promoting positivity, inclusion, as well as just showcasing some great geeky stuff, from Dungeons and Dragons to movies to... There's even a show about K-pop, of all things. Like, they kind of run the gambit. To be quite honest, Aramis, I have a feeling the age... Like, you and I are at the upper echelon of this age scale. So... I mean, I feel like if there's ever a Geek to Geek convention, you and I have to bring peanut brittle and ribbon candy and start chasing kids off lawns and stuff. So they have a ton of great podcasts, though. I've been just going through some of their catalog, trying to listen to each of the shows to kind of get an idea. Some of it's not my bag, but that's kind of what's cool about being a geek, is that it's not all going to hit you. But there is something definitely there that will. Go to geektogeekmedia.com to find out more about them. No, you don't. I'll hurt your feelings.
Yeah, Criminal saying that Super Carrot's kind of like a boogeyman, and he kind of wants to see what's going on, and Super Carrot's like, yeah, no, you don't.
So we're still in untap, so I do want to untap, and I'm going to untap a Coke Zero. That's right. No beer tonight. I'm no beer in it. How about that? But Aramis, my friend, how the hell are you?
I'm doing good. I got to ask you a question.
Oh, dear.
Did you... I mean, it's a tangent. It goes to football. Did you see last night's game?
No, I did not.
Chargers and the Raiders? Oh, my fucking God.
What happened? This is sport ball. This is your sport ball warning.
Yeah, sport ball warning. So going into this Sunday, because the Jaguars beat the Colts,
right?
The Raiders and Chargers, they played each other. If they tied, they would have both gotten into the playoffs and kicked the Steelers out. So the Twitter was going crazy all day, going, oh my God, okay, what if they do it on purpose? What if they just start taking knees and just like say, F it, we're just going to tie on purpose? Well, the people are like, no, that's not going to happen. So Raiders had a 2-touchdown lead with like 7 minutes left in the game. Chargers came back to tie as time expired. So they went to overtime. Raiders kicked a field goal. Chargers kick a field goal. The Raiders have the ball. There's like 2 minutes left. They're doing running plays, but they're letting the clock run all the way down before they run it again. Nobody's calling timeouts.
Of course not, because again, it's like you... So wait, if somebody wins, does the winner go to the playoffs? Or
the winner got in and the loser would be eliminated.
Oh, okay.
But if the game ended in a tie, they would both get in. So it got to the point where there were like 40-something seconds left, and...
I think the Raiders won, right?
The Raiders ended up winning because the Chargers called a random timeout with like 40 seconds left. And it turns out that there were 10 men on the field instead of 11 for the Chargers. And the head coach, I think, outsmarted himself and called timeout. And the Raiders basically took that as saying, oh, okay, so we're not doing this. All right. So we'll run another play. And they got close enough to kick a field goal as time expired in the overtime.
Because that's what my friend Shane was talking about. My buddy Shane, shout out to Shane. He's a diehard Steeler fan. I mean, the guy's got like 25 terrible towels.
Oh, he probably had like 7 heart attacks last night.
Oh, that's what I heard. Oh my God, yeah, that makes perfect sense now.
Yeah, so. Because the Chargers had to convert like 7 fourth downs in the fourth quarter or they would lose the game. And they did every single time. It was insane. I've never seen a game like that.
And when I go to edit this, I might put in like a sport ball warning, like, you may fast forward now 1 minute. No, but yes, I totally get it. It was, I love football. I still love football.
Amazing.
I haven't gotten a chance. It's weird because since I've gotten rid of cable, I don't get a chance to watch as much. And I used to like find a way to do it when I was doing fantasy because I'm like, oh, I want to watch these games.
Oh, speaking of fantasy, I won my fantasy league this year.
Oh, congrats. You're in a fantasy league? You didn't get me in? You know I'm not.
Najee Harris won me the championship on the last play.
Why don't
quarter.
You get me in this league? What, you and I got to talk.
It's a family league that my mom was in, so.
Oh, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Family.
I'm family. Mm. I'm an Aramis in-law.
you're like that cousin that we lock in the basement that we don't talk about.
Wow. And there are four or five jokes I can come up with, but you asked me not to make any of them tonight. So I'm not. But I want it known. I'm capable of self-control. I think because I'm not drinking booze. So, we had a nice quiet weekend here. My car's got problems. So, I mean, we were kind of down, but no kids. Wendy and I just kind of spent the weekend she's been trying to get over this cold she's had since November. So we just kind of stayed down and kind of had a nice, quiet, no kid weekend. I love no kid weekends. Like Christmas stuff is still up, dude. I'm just like, fuck it. So
I mean, you know, like Three Kings Day was only this past week. So I mean, that's usually when my parents would bring down the decorations.
Really what it is this. We want to wait till the boys are here to tear down because nobody wants to do that alone.
Yeah. Manual labor.
Exactly. So I'm thinking we'll probably tear down on Saturday. But I mean, you know, and we've got a pretty good show tonight, guys. We went a little over on the Untapped Bookkeep because, well, you're about to find out. So let's go into upkeep here. And main one, we're going to talk the state of Standard. And that'll be a fascinating conversation where you'll hear, you know, spoiler alert, the word aggro a lot. And then we'll go to combat, which we probably won't have one. Then main two, we've got some news. Pauper news came out today. Hasbro has named a new CEO, which kind of impacts us. Then we're going to kind of talk about the winner box for Kamigawa. Finish that conversation we kind of started last week when we ran out of time. And that's literally it. This could be the shortest podcast in history. And every time I've said that, we go over by at least 15 minutes. So start the clock. But let's go ahead and get right into the main phase.
Main phase.
And let's kind of start talking about main phase. So, state of Standard right now. So this is still a Standard podcast, and Standard's kind of interesting. It's weird. You know, tournaments are getting kind of stranger and stranger. There's not a lot of paper going on. Omicron's back in, you know. Back in black. So a lot of things that are happening on MTGO and a little bit of Arena. And the Decathlon, which I don't know. Did you play in the Decathlon at all?
I still have not touched Arena since Alchemy was updated.
I was in it a little bit. I played it a little bit. And then I just got kind of sidetracked with things. And then I was too far behind. But an interesting idea that I'm glad they're doing. I am glad they're doing things like that. That being said, Standard's kind of in a strange place because last week's State of Standard looks completely different from this week's State of Standard. Not so much at the top. The top is still big, green, stompy, mono-green aggro. 21.4% of the meta, Old Growth Troll, Ranger Class, Werewolf Pack Leader. You know what's in this deck. We know what this deck's about. Bringing up number two with a bullet, mono-white aggro. Now, here's that long distance dedication from mono white aggro to Is It Dragons. Y'all suck. That was a bad Casey Kasem impression. And if you don't know who Casey Kasem is, kids, go ask your parents.
He's been room temperature for a decade or more.
Yeah, right. Oh, he had a weird death too. Like he got dementia.
Yeah,
his kids were fighting over him at the end.
Yeah, like the wife was like not letting him take the body or something. It was really messed up.
I thought that was fit. I mean, Casey Kasem had an incredible career. He was how we listened to music for 20 years. He was the voice of Shaggy. He was the voice of Robin on the Super Friends in the 80s. And, but yeah, in any event, Is It Dragons kind of pulling up the third place spot. So we always kind of know that the top three is going to kind of be that. Green aggro, white aggro, and, you know, Well, let's hear it for, you know,
alchemy. Is it nonsense?
Or not alchemy. What the hell is it there?
Alrun's Epiphany?
Yeah, Alrun's Epiphany, yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, yay, yay.
Not
yay.
Going anywhere. It's No, it's not going
to
happen.
It needs to be. It does. Whether or not it's going to happen, it still needs to happen. It should be happening.
Yeah, I mean. I think if they were going to, they would have already. Right. I think the fact that it's not even the top deck anymore is really.
It's just because I think the reason it's not the top deck anymore is that mono green aggro, people feel cleaner playing aggro. I really think that's part of it. They're just like, I feel like a better person.
Speak for
yourself. You know, well, you're a dirty, rotten control player. But, you know, I think a lot of people are like, they don't want to play Epiphany because it's like, you don't want to be that guy. It was the same thing with, you know, there were times where you're like, I really can't play Nexus of Fate. Like, you pull out Nexus of Fate, or like that time I was over at that game store out in Fort Plains where Gamers Revolt, and I rolled in and dropped a couple of Okos and Golos on them, and they were like ready to stone me out the store.
you gotta know your meta.
Oh, I did too. I walked in with like tier two meta, and I cleaned the place. Jund midrange is like number four. This is kind of an interesting. First of all, I just love seeing midrange come back. I mean, granted, it's in at 6%, and it's probably just because somebody spiked a tournament with it. But well, it's kind of more Jund treasures than it is midrange. But
it's barely Jund. I mean, it's kind of like I would say like Rakdos with a weed problem, because the only green card is a Seeker's Chariot.
True.
It's barely Jund. I mean, Asika's Chariot is a hell of a card.
Yeah, you can fit Asika in, fit it in. And with the pathways, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, it's free. It's a free splash.
Yeah. So, I get it, and especially because they're playing a whole lot of treasure. This is more of a treasure deck.
This is the Goldspan Dragon deck.
Yeah. If you're playing a treasure deck, then, yeah, you could almost go five colors. But with Meat Hook Massacre... Damn, $45 card.
Yeah, Meat Hook Massacre is kind of
fantastic.
I mean, it's one of those cards where it's like it's probably the best card out of Midnight Hunt, or at least it's the big chase rare. But it's one of the ones where it's like, yeah, it's super strong, but it's not like it's not busted or anything. It's just really good,
right?
You know?
It's great removal. It's great removal,
and it kind of hits that sweet spot.
It right. Yeah, and it's great removal that's costed appropriately. This is what a good Magic card should be. And for those that don't know, Meat Hook Massacre is two black and an X. And it says, when this enters the battlefield, each creature gets -X/-X till end of turn. Whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent loses one life. Whenever a creature an opponent control dies, you gain one life.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the worm on a stick.
Yeah, well, it's scalable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scale. And so it comes in as like a spell almost, because its ETB is kind of great. Mm-hmm. And then it also comes in, it's an enchantment. It's not even, that's what I should say. It's not Massacre Worm on a stick. It's Massacre Worm off to the side. In that it's also gaining you life and taking life away from other players. It's a really good card. It's costed well because of the X. I mean, you could drop it for two if you don't care about removal. Like, churn two, and you're just like, I could use the life. You know, I mean, it's a waste.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste. It's like, a especially waste. Since it's only a one of in this deck, so right. I think it's one of those ones where it's like, all right, I want to go in for the kill next turn. Let's soften you up a bit before that happens.
Right. So, I definitely like it a lot. I think it's probably, you're right, it's the best card in Midnight Hunt. After that, everything goes down to about 4 or 5%. Is it control or is off control? Mono black aggro. The cleric deck just got somebody already figured it out. It went to 1.5. You know, I still like that deck. I wish, other than dragons, that we could see some sort of tribal. You know, I mean, they keep trying. Wizards keeps trying with tribal, and. I guess I'm a minority because I guess I'm kind of like, keep trying, yo, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Standard's in a good spot. You know, there's, and we kind of been touching on this for a little while now. You know, there hasn't been any bands since the end of 2020, which was one of those things where when you think back about it, you're like, oh, that's right, there hasn't been.
Right. It was surprising to me when I heard that, and then I really went and looked, and I was like, holy shit, no, there weren't.
Yeah, nothing's been banned, and I, you know, I think it's, you know, obviously the power level's much lower. Auron's Epiphany sticks out as one of the most powerful cards, but again, it's apparently not too crazy to the point where they're like, yeah, this is a problem, we got to get rid of it. It's just, it's a really good card in a really good deck, but there are obviously answers to it. The two aggro decks are sort of trading back and forth with the top two spots right now, but that, you know, shuffles around on its own as well. I feel like it's standard's in a good spot, and it's a shame that there aren't any big events, but then again, you know, that's largely out of everyone's control because, you know, COVID's still floating around. So it kind of sucks in that regard that standard's really good. I mean, okay, an argument could be said that it's a little stale, but I think that's more of a byproduct of Arena than anything else.
Yeah.
But it's in probably the best spot that it's been in the last couple of years. I know there have been standard seasons that have been better.
Right.
But this is decent. You know, it's serviceable. You can have some fun with this format if there's something there for you. And if you're able to find an event safely in a store, I mean, then have at it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's funny too, because I saw that Goldfish put out their podcast today, and they were talking a little bit about the fact that SCG coverage is gone, I guess.
Yeah.
That it wasn't, they didn't do any coverage for the last two events or anything. That the idea is that they're no longer going to do Twitch coverage of live paper, and that Channel Fireball's kind of sitting in the same boat. That's a scary thought to me. That I get, you know, that's something we could talk about in combat, but I mean, they talk about it. You should listen to their podcast. Absolutely. But I mean, for me, it's a fear I have with regards to Arena, in that, you know, Arena, all right, now the next victim is paper coverage, which they used to cover paper, you know, extensively, because it was thought that it would sell the cards and it would also sell the events. Like, you know, if you thought you could end up at a featured table at an event, you would do coverage for it. And now, you know, they're not doing it. Nobody's doing it.
I think that's also still a byproduct of the pandemic. I mean, Magic the Gathering Las Vegas has been the only big in-person event. And
right.
Star City Games is only just now kind of starting their stuff back up again, but it's still not the SCG Tour. It's the SCG Con, which is something different. So I'm kind of reserving judgment. It makes sense for them to be cutting coverage because there's no point in having coverage right now. I do share your concern about what the future might hold for coverage of large paper events, but I feel like we have to actually start having large paper in-person events on a semi-regular basis before we can really revisit the conversation.
Right. And I get that. And here's the thing too. I mean, it's also in this environment, it's very possible that this could be, and again, I haven't listened to the entirety of the cast. So if I spout anything that those guys are saying, just realize that it's a complete and utter coincidence. But my thinking was too, when I've just even now just thinking about it, like, if you were holding an in-person event, there could be serious liability issues that having video coverage of said event may not benefit you financially in the long run.
Yeah, right. Like, I think right now is not the time to be having a pan shot of 10,000 people in an arena.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And how many people? I mean, when we were watching the New Year's Eve show the other night, like I said, we ended up watching this ABC coverage, but without like New Year's Rockin' Eve. So they would cut to the crowd, and we're sitting there, and my wife and I even commented, we're like, half those people aren't wearing masks.
Yeah,
holy
that well,
shit.
That,
you're in New Year's Eve.
But here's the thing with that. I remember this coming into New Year's Eve. That crowd was fully vaccinated.
Doesn't matter.
I know, but it doesn't matter, yeah. But that you can get away with not wearing a mask in a big crowd.
Well, the rule was
they
were supposed to still be masked.
They were supposed to be masked, but unless they were eating or drinking, which, you know, it's New Year's Eve, you're going to be doing a lot of drinking.
Right, right.
So We'll have to see if any super spreader comes out of this. I don't think it will, because again, if the crowd is vaccinated, that should inhibit the spread.
Right. But you know, that's kind of it. Like the standards, like you said, standards looking pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not playing it as much these days. I do want to kind of start putting a standard deck together to have in paper, ready to go. And again, I've loaded up Arena. You know what? We're doing a standard podcast. I can't not load Arena. So I did. I got into the Decathlon a little bit, and I kind of got a little bored. And so I was like, okay, you know, and I got my dailies, and that was kind of it. Okay, it's cool. Do I like Alchemy? It's not as horrible. You know what I'm saying? I wish I could play Historic like it was. But
yeah, and that's always been my complaint.
That ship may have sailed, and maybe. So I'm just going to not play Historic. And we'll talk about this in Main 2 when we talk about the Kamigawa Winnabox, but, I mean, we're going to have some conversations on that. So, but let's go ahead, and before we get into combat, we want to play a little something, so here's this.
When toxic culture has you down.
When you're just looking to laugh and have fun.
Kick back and enjoy watching a video game.
Or just make some new friends.
It's time to visit the Geek to Geek Media Network.
A community of podcasters, streamers, and bloggers.
Well, more of a family than a community.
All dedicated to geeking out about the things we love. Things like...
video games.
Star Wars.
Comics.
Movies.
K-pop.
Disney Plus.
Keanu Reeves.
New.
Or whatever our community decides is the next best thing.
That's right. We have a great online community on Slack and Discord where we chat about our weekly geekery with listeners and viewers.
And each other.
Yep, and each other in real time. And we can't wait for you to join us.
So come check us out at geek2geekmedia.com.
And escape toxic fandom for something much more...
Keanu?
Yes, Keanu.
Combat phase.
And we have no combat, so let's go to main phase.
Main phase.
So yeah, I do like that commercial. It's cool. I do like being part of Geek to Geek. I've submitted an article. I'm still writing one for Magic now, so they want me writing stuff, which is kind of great.
That's pretty cool.
So main two. Okay. Yes. So we got some news today. This is it's a little outside.
Is that number two? Oh, there we go. There you go. Aha. Just remember,
it may not heal. The bottingest bot of bots we've ever botted. Yeah, I believe. I've never seen Pam in the flesh. I think she's a bot. No, I'm kidding. I've seen Pam. His wife's amazing. So let's talk a little bit about the Pauper information that came out today. Now, Pauper's not something we cover a ton of on this show. Why? Oh.
that's more Cantrip Cartel territory.
Yeah. Well, it is and it isn't. It's an eternal format, and it's, you know, Pauper's one of those really cool. Listen, Pauper is Magic at its finest. I think Commander and Pauper are two examples of the community of old. You know, we decided to start playing this version of Magic that was designed for the cheap seats. That's what it came out. They were like, well, let's use the commons and see what we can figure out and see what kind of decks we can build with common. And it was great, and it is great. And there are people out there that love Pauper. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a buddy back here at home, like, that used to go to my old store, Guardian Games. His name's Cody. And, I mean, he lives for freaking Pauper. He tried so hard to get me into it. And I'm like... I just can't get there. You know, I've tried it. I like it. It's definitely cool. It's just not for me. But I kind of like what they're kind of talking now, in some ways. And then in other ways, not to be a negative Nelly, but my you know, Spidey sense starts tingling a little bit. Because basically Wizards has discovered Pauper and realized that Pauper is a format. So... they now want to I guess, I want to say regulate. They don't want to regulate it. I think they want to regulate it, but I think they're trying to say that they're trying to validate it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's kind of like they want to legitimize it.
Okay, legitimize is a good word.
Yeah. Not that it wasn't legit. I'm just like more of like an official capacity.
Yeah. And basically what they're doing is they are putting together, similar to the Commander Committee or whatever, the Commander Rules Committee, Commander...
Yeah,
I forget what the Commander is. Yeah.
The Rules Committee, yeah.
Yeah, but they're putting together a pauper format panel. Now, what I love about this is they went out of their way to say they cannot ban cards, but they can recommend to us we do. I'm like, oh, so they learned. After the whole Walking Dead fiasco, when the commanding committee was like, we really kind of want to ban these cards. And, people were like, we're going to do it. We're going to meet tomorrow. We're meeting tomorrow to do this. And, Wizards got a hold of them and was like, you can't ban those cards. We're not going to ban these cards. We're just not going to do it. It's definitely. So Pauper, Gavin did a daily magic, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Good Morning Magic, he calls it.
Good Morning Magic. Yeah, once a week he has this show on YouTube where he talks about stuff happening in the game and just other things surrounding the Magic periphery.
Right. So now you might hear this and immediately think of two other similar bodies for a different format. The Commander Rules Committee, who makes all ban and format decisions for Commander, which is also based of community members, not Wizards people, and the Commander Advisory Group, who help inform and discuss matters with the Rules Committee. He's like, this is not quite like those groups. It sits somewhere between them. If the Commander Rules Committee is a 10 on the scale of final decision-making in that they are the arbiters of all decisions, I'd say the Pauper Format Panel will be about an 8. What they will be doing is working together to come up with our recommendations for any banned cards. Then I, as the Wizards member, will take this to our internal teams at Wizards for further discussions. I'm trying to be positive.
It's Gavin.
Gavin's
a good dude.
I like Gavin a lot, but then again, I also love what somebody said earlier. I think it was in the Cancer Cartel channel. They were like, I love these videos, but why does it take him 15 minutes to get to it? Like, we didn't need to hear this story or that. He does kind of take you on a journey. Like, he's trying to Ryan Seacrest this shit.
Well, that's YouTube algorithm. You have to, if you're watching a video past a certain point, it counts for more. So if you bury what you want to talk about deeper into the video, it forces people to actually watch the video to get to what it is. So
right.
it's good for metrics.
Right. So, all right, I guess I understand that to some extent, but then it's kind of shitty. It's like, I'm wasting my time. Sometimes,
there's timestamps. You just skip through.
Yeah. 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 So, but basically, this Pauper committee, I just don't like the Wizard. I don't trust Wizards. I'm just going to say it. I just don't trust Wizards. I really don't. I like who they grabbed.
There's only one person on the panel who is Wizards, and that's Gavin.
Right.
So there's not going to be...
Just it. But no, what it is this. They get together and say, we feel that Fatal Push is too powerful of a common... It's an uncommon. I'm trying to think of a powerful common. Shock. Shock is ripping up Pauper, man. Shock's fracking ridiculous. Shock needs to be banned. And, they're all in agreement, all seven of them, and they go to Gavin and say, Gavin, we need Shock to be banned. But then Gavin gets to go and take it to, and it's not even Gavin who's making the decision. He has to take it to the Wizards people, and the Wizards people make a decision for further discussion. Like, it's kind of like, I feel like this is kind of...
Well, here's the thing. It's like even if they decide to ban or not ban a card, Pauper is a format where economically that's not going to make that much of a difference because we're talking about commons.
Well, I mean, there are some expensive commons because of Pauper.
Yeah, but you can build a tier one Pauper deck for like $50.
Okay.
It's such a cheap format. I mean,
you're
right.
There are some... The affinity is $51.
Yeah, and it's really good. I this came as a bit of a surprise to me, but I like that they're doing it. I like that they grab people from the community to make up the panel and to make it as, you know, it's as weighted against Wizards bias as it possibly can be with only having one member out of the seven on the panel. Yes, they have to go to Wizards for any final recommendations, but they would have had to done that anyway.
Right. But, well, that's not true because and I think this is what pisses Wizards off is that the way they put Commander together all those years ago with the Commander Rules Committee and the Commander Advisory Panel, at the end of the day, the Rules Committee makes the call. Now, Wizards holds a whole lot, like I said, the Rules Committee really kind of, a lot of people were saying the Rules Committee really wanted to ban the triangle cards. They wanted to ban Walking Dead. They just, because the reaction was so vitriolic, and they're like, and it's so unique, and it was mechanically unique cards. They wanted to ban them. And here's the thing. I mean, none of those cards have made like a huge, you know, ripple in Commander. I mean, we were all kind of, you know, sky is falling on that one. But be that as it may, Wizards kind of came back and they kind of overruled them, and then I think they threatened them because it was almost overnight where people started being like, we're not going to ban these. We'll take a wait and see attitude. It'll be fine. We'll be all right. Moving on. Shiny object. Look, Commander Legends. You know, I don't know. I guess I'm partial to like the idea of, I kind of wish they just would have done what they did with Commander and said, we're going to have a Commander or a Pauper Rules Committee and a Pauper form and a Pauper advisory board. All right. So, because I think that's cool. You know, I think getting Wizards too involved in the, and that's just it. Wizards in every other format is trying to get out of organized play. Hey, Nick, how we doing? Wizards is trying to get out of organized play, and now they're trying to keep their hands in rules and shit.
Well, they've never said they're getting out of organized play.
Right, I know they're not getting out.
They've never come out and said that's the thing, is that you have to take things like that in perspective with everything else that's going on. I'm reserving judgment on the Pauper
and I will as
committee.
Well.
I'm not going in with any preconceived notions of it being good or bad. You know, I'm not going to go doom and gloom on this. I think I appreciate the effort. I think it's a good idea. I like the fact, again, that they grab people in the community who care about Pauper. So these aren't people that they grab off the street willy-nilly to say, hey, you know, you guys are going to be in charge of this format and the be-all, end-all is going to go through you. I think they want Pauper to be a thing. I think they want to run events with Pauper. And because they've done it before and they saw how popular it is, obviously, you know, the bottom line has something to do with this, which, you know, capitalism. That's
right.
They want to try to make some money. There's not a whole lot to be made with Pauper in the sense, again, because it's such a cheap format that, you know, the cards are easy to get for the most part. I think that, again, only having one member on the board being from Wizards is a good thing. It limits the amount of influence that Wizards can have on their opinion. You get one against seven, one of seven. It'll be hard for him to sway people in the direction that the corporation wants to go. And I also don't think that Gavin is that type of person. Gavin is someone who is like, he's like Mark Rosewater. He genuinely loves the game. Yes, he will say certain things that the company wants him to say, but at the end of the day, he wants what's best for the game.
Right.
And I don't think anybody there has any kind of ulterior motive as far as saying, well, how can we maximize this angle for the format? So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens. They've been willing to ban cards before. I think this gives them more of a legitimacy in banning cards because they can say, look, we've had the discussion about this. It's more transparency. And I think that's a really good thing. I think that's what you have to sort of keep in mind is that before, you know, when they're banning cards in the other formats like Standard or Modern, it's just one person coming and saying, hey, we talked about it. We're banning this card. With this one, these six people, there's nothing that I've seen here that says they can't go on Twitter and say, hey, we're discussing a couple of cards here that might be a problem. Maybe they go out to the community to get some extra feedback.
Right.
You know, who knows? This might be more of a collaborative thing. So let's see what happens.
All right. I'm down. I feel it. I feel you, dog. Yeah, it's definitely cool. So I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm hopeful that, you know, it works out for the best by far. You know, it's definitely going to be an interesting, you know, as they shake down. But, and it may get me playing Pauper. You never know. Because, you know, Pauper's kind of a fun little format out there.
It looks like a lot of fun. I think I might be interested in getting into that a little bit at some point.
Right. Well, let's pivot off of that. Some other big news that came out this week, and no, we're not talking about Post Malone, dear God, because I still have no idea how that's going to look. But last week after the show, Hasbro came out and announced. Now, as many of you know, Hasbro's CEO passed away at the end of last year, quite suddenly, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, very suddenly, just out of nowhere.
Yeah, so they needed to name a CEO, and what they've done is they named Wizards of the Coast president Chris Cox. He is now the new CEO of Hasbro. I don't know if this is a net win or not, and this... I have a cat. Check it. I have a cat. Hi, Scooter. Hello. Go on. I'm busy.
while you're dealing with the cat. I have mixed feelings about it. Chris Cox was the COO and president of Wizards over the last few years, about the same time that the whole Fire development strategy came out.
Right.
About the whole time that their whole doubling profits over the next X number of years came out. He was the one behind pushing Arena.
He's a number guy.
Pushing Secret Lairs. He's a numbers guy. He's all about the profits. In that
which you
regard,
want for your CEO, I get it.
Yeah, in that regard, as a Magic player, I'm concerned because I don't think he cares as much about the history of the game in that regard. On the other hand, coming from Wizards...
he comes from Microsoft. No more need be said.
coming from Wizards to be the CEO of Hasbro, I mean, kudos to him. That's a great promotion. Magic and D&D have carried a lot of Hasbro over the last couple of years. I know he's going to make sure that Wizards gets whatever they want.
Right. The positive spin on this is definitely, hey, you know, this is great for Magic in that, you know, oh gosh, he had cancer. Okay, never mind. Brian Goldner died after having treatment for cancer. I mean, it was still sudden, but he was 58. Jesus.
Yeah, that's way too young.
But they're talking about, you know, I think this is a net win for Wizards. In that, to be honest, I've not been a fan of Cox's. Okay, I get that I'm infantile. I've not been a big fan of Cox since he started. But I'm not a big fan of a lot of his strategies. I think the Fire strategy and the doubling profit strategy has led to some of the more
broken
negative aspects of Magic over the past 5 years. I remember coming back in 16 and excited at what it was and how it still kind of felt like it did when I left. It was very, very positive and still... And then over time, watching how things kind of devolved into chase cards and one major deck and, you know, and then arena to the pandemic. And don't forget, even before the pandemic, I mean, Wizards made choices like they stopped doing coverage of Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. You know, they stopped a lot of the things.
Yeah, they said
that
they spun that off to Channel Fireball.
Right. So, I think this is a net win in that he's going to be out of Wizards' day-to-day operations. Hopefully, they find somebody to put in that position, like a Rosewater or a Gavin, who's somebody who has the playability of the game at heart. However, I don't think you can fight City Hall in a corporate infrastructure. You are a division of Hasbro. If Hasbro comes down and says, we expect X, you know... X profits over this year, and damn it, when I was CEO, I did it, so you can do it too, even if it means lousier gameplay. That's the dark side of me. Okay, that's the dark side. The positive side is I hope he does well. I hope Wizards You know, I hope they find the right CEO. You know, that's going to be kind of like the next part of this. I know he wants to expand digital even more. In a lot of ways, he wants to move away from cardboard, whether it be a board game or paper.
I don't think that's happening.
I know, but he's a digital guy. He comes from Microsoft. He was a head of the digital gaming division within Hasbro. He helped form, Arena. He helped form D&D, and then he spun off MTGO. In the article I'm reading, they're talking about how he's really trying to push for a G.I. Joe game. A video game for G.I. Joe.
I mean, kind of surprised there haven't been more, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too. My Little Pony, Transformers. I think he's looking to... A lot of the articles I've been reading are saying the same thing. They're talking about him digitally.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a market for that. I mean, and if you think about absolutely. It, a lot of those markets for those IPs have not really been tapped into.
Right.
So, I mean, if he's looking in that direction from a corporate perspective, I mean, that's obvious. You know, kids especially these days are into their devices. They're into their electronics.
Right.
And
right.
They may not be playing with action figures as much, but they'll sure as hell play an app. I mean, my son loves Roblox, and I play it with him. It's a lot of fun. It's a safe environment. If Wizards can replicate that kind of an environment with their IPs, I mean, that's a lot of money waiting to be made. And
yeah,
from that perspective, fine, whatever. I don't think him becoming CEO is any sort of a threat to the future of paper Magic.
Okay.
I don't think that's going anywhere until they decide to really like shut the doors, because
spin off Wizard into it. Yeah.
If Wizard spins off into its own thing, they're taking paper Magic with them.
Right.
And it'll be fine.
Yes. So, he doesn't begin till February 25th. You know, good luck to you, sir. I really do want to say that. I really am hopeful that, you know, and like I said, having him kind of.
Yeah, but it's like you like I'm hopeful, but it's like we've been burned before, so it's like it's that hopeful, but you're sort of like, okay, it's good. Yeah, I'm happy for you. Just don't touch me.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we had going there. So the final thing I wanted to talk about tonight is we kind of should make a decision here. I did put it out to the Discord last week. We had a few discussions on it. The winner box for Kamigawa. So yeah. Kerwin's Game Store graciously gives us a box of Kamigawa, well, of every standard set to give away.
Yes.
We've discovered that as opposed to like, share, and subscribe type of contest, mm-hmm. we really enjoy trying to find a way for paper to, you know, to do it a tournament style. And so with that in mind, We wondering what and I'm fascinated by this cat. Like, what the hell is he playing? Okay, there he goes. We're trying to figure out how best to give this away. So, you know, I brought it up to the Discord, and some people actually ask questions like, you know, well, why not standard? It's an interesting idea. We haven't done a standard tournament in a while. What do you think? What do you think we should do?
See, it's tough because if we stay with Arena and we go with Standard, people are going to need wild cards.
Right.
They're going to need to build these decks. They're going to need the wild cards to do it. It's harder, I think, to get a Standard deck put together than Brawl.
Right.
I mean, it's Historic Brawl. I mean.
Well, I think it's all Historic Brawl now. I don't think Brawl exists in Standard.
Regular Brawl still exists, I believe.
Okay.
I believe, yes.
I don't know about that.
But the thing about it, too, is that there are people who also have strong feelings about Alchemy. And if you're playing Historic Brawl, you have to play Alchemy. There's no option. So we have to decide if we're doing Arena, what format we're doing. If we're doing a Historic format, or even Alchemy Standard, again, are we using Alchemy?
Right.
I
don't think we can do... I mean, there's a part of me that wants to be like, MTGO, guys, go spend $20. Go make a
commander MTGO deck. Just so buggy.
Just go make a commander deck and play MTGO. But I don't want to do that.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we're at Arena. So it's either Arena or Spell Table. And again, And I'm not saying anybody would, but, you know, there are times where we've kind of had questions about people, you know, off camera doing things, shenanigans, there's nothing on the line with Commander Craft. The minute we put a box in it, I mean, it's
Arena,
be...
from a integrity standpoint, Arena gets all the points.
Yeah.
It's the I think it's the most stable client of the two online clients that are readily available. It's got it looks the best if we decide to broadcast anything. I mean, like I said, my only issue with Alchemy is how it was implemented.
Right.
If it was implemented with having the choice to play or not, I mean, I would still be playing Arena on a very regular basis. I would say my vote would be yes, keep it on Arena.
Obviously.
And then just decide what format we're going to play and then whether or not Alchemy is going to be a part of it.
I mean, do we want to do... I say maybe we just bite the bullet. All right, we're going to do Historic Legendary again. Legendary Historic Brawl.
It was really popular, and that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I feel like...
And maybe Alchemy is going to give us the chance to see... to you know what? This could convince us, too. Like, seeing... You and I will watch most of these events because we get sent the streams. This could actually convince us. I mean, we could sit there and say no digital only, you know, like it needs to be Brawl legal, non digital only.
But the problem is that when you go to Historic, if the card was nerfed for Standard, the nerfs carry over to Historic.
Nerfs will carry. Nerfs and buffs will carry.
Right, which is still just as bad as. So if you're going to do that, you might as well include the Alchemy card. So,
okay,
in that regard, like I'm not going to let my personal feelings with Alchemy get in the way of what we're doing as far as a tournament's concerned. So if Alchemy has to be part of Historic or Historic Brawl, so be it.
Okay, so that's probably what we're going to do. Then we're probably going to do Legendary Historic Brawl again. Patrons will get first dibs again, so they'll have it for a good week. They will be able to declare a commander before anyone else. If you want to declare a commander, if you really want a commander that you think is going to be grabbed, become a patron any level you're in. They give first dibs. It's probably what we're going to do then.
Yeah, and I mean,
really,
and this
was
time,
some entertaining fracking streams.
No, it was really good. And this time they'll be able to use Midnight Hunt and Crimson Vow. And like the only cards they wouldn't be able to use would be Kamigawa, which ideally won't be out yet.
Yeah, like, well, because I'm thinking we'll start the tournament a little early.
Yeah.
We'll start the tournament, like, soon. So this way we avoid the preview problem.
Yeah, because previews start on the 27th.
Yeah, so maybe we'll start next week getting things together for that. I'm going to contact Kerwins. I want to make sure that our promo code is working and stuff, too. So, all right. So, yeah. Hey, look at this. We're almost at an hour. So we managed to do it, sir, unless you've got anything else.
I don't think so. Looking forward to Wednesday. I have a new deck that I'm playing. So,
I'm playing Torbrin.
Yep. I'd be bringing a selection of decks. If I didn't have a new one, I would be bringing probably like four to choose from. I think that's going to be my new norm from now on. If I don't have a new deck or I'm not the champion, I'm going to bring several different decks and see what the table wants.
Yeah, and I'll probably do similar to that. So I'm thinking elves and the zombie deck, like some tribal stuff.
Get some proxies put together so that way you can have multiple decks ready.
Yeah, I should do that. All right, let's get into that. So, as we're rolling up our play mats, putting the cards back in their boxes, taking the pizza box over to the trash because, damn it, your mother still does not work in this game store, we want to remind you we have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Look up the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch, and there you'll see all the shows we do on both Magic and other geeky games. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73.
No other thing?
Yeah. No, I'm not, because I haven't played DCUO in a while.
Okay, that's cool. So, if you'd rather interact with us in a more real-time fashion, many of you have been doing that already during the show. A lot of you do that during Wednesday nights. You especially want to be doing that during our Winterbox tournaments that we talked about. You want to join our Discord. Discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. It's a great community. Lots of cool folks there. We get into some good discussions. I've been trying to get on there a little more often, and everybody there is super chill. If you want to talk about the game, you want to talk about stuff going on in the world, get a game of Commander in over Spell Table. There's usually some folks floating around. You might be able to get a game in there. If Twitter is more your speed, you want to follow us that way. We typically tweet when we're going live. If something else really big happens and we want to tweet about it, we'll fire one off there. go to Twitter and look up at Plains Talker Pod.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson, but I really don't tweet all that often from there. I'm really there just to follow Betty White. She has some of the funniest stuff on Twitter. And, of course, you can always follow us on Too soon?
I figured you were going to go Bob Saget, but all right.
Shit! Take two. I really use that only to follow Bob Saget on Twitter, as well as Betty White and Sidney Poitier. Just go to, you know, you can also follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/plainstalker. There is no S on the S end because really some airplane enthusiast took it. But like and follow our page there. And don't forget, too, we have that playcast we talked about where we play Paper Commander live on Wednesday. It's called Commander Craft. And so tune into any of our channels on Wednesdays around 7 Eastern. If you'd like to play with us, hop in the Discord, let us know. Patrons get until tomorrow morning, and then anyone, you know, at all is welcome to play. And if you don't, if you're not on our Discord, well, you need to be for the voice anyway. So discord.planestalkerspodcast.com, like you said.
See, I thought if you weren't going to go Bob Saget, I was thinking maybe Robert Durst, because he died too.
Who?
He was the guy, the producer dude that, like, killed some people. He was in jail. He just died.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know him.
But it's good that he's gone. He was not a nice person.
Sidney Poitier was tough for me. When I go to classic, all around classic great actors.
Oh God, yes.
Sidney Poitier is one of those. And then I saw an interview and it really made me think. He's like, well, let me ask you a question. With all of my roles, have I ever played a criminal? Have I ever played a bad person? And I'm like, holy shit, no, he didn't. I was like, holy cow. Like, he was OG standing up. Man, God, made me respect him even more.
I mean, I'm going to say this. 2022, you're not off to a great start, dude. Those three.
Bob Saget? How does Saget die? Technically, yeah, Betty White's 21. But yeah.
Betty White, Sidney Poitier, Bob Saget. Those are the three?
I'm just going to put this out there right now. You understand we're in the sequel, right? We're in 2022
Electric Boogaloo.
Yes. All right.
Anyway, getting back onto some some kind of a topic. Email. You can email us. You can send us electronic mail, which is starting to become like snail mail. I think I think email is almost obsolete.
Just power up your AOL browser.
Beep, you've got mail. File done. Anyway. Yeah, I just dated myself.
Yeah.
I turned 40 in a couple weeks.
I did that a lot.
So, whatever.
I dated myself a lot in college. Girls didn't want anything to do with me. Go on.
Anyway, emails. Send us emails. We read them on the show. We respond to them on the show sometimes. We make fun of you on the show most of the time.
Yes.
If you don't mind that, cool. Anyway, there's three email addresses you can send your emails to. We will read them. The first one is podcast@plainstalkerspodcast.com. That goes to both of us. If you'd want to email one of us individually, Will's email address is will@plainstalkerspodcast.com. If you want to email me, the email address is Aramis, A-R-A-M as in Michael, I, S as in Sam, @plainstalkerspodcast.computer.
Damn it, on that note.
Get off my lawn.
We want to thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. We will be back next week with the regular show, as well as Wednesday night for Commander Craft. Don't forget to check out Cantrip Cartel, and don't forget to check out geek2geekmedia.com for other geeky shows. We want to thank you again. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Please stay safe, stay warm, and we'll see you soon. Don't forget to leave Sonny your man untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a good week. Bye-bye now.